This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Berkeley Life Nitric Oxide Support Supplements. Nitric oxide is a vital signaling molecule in cardiovascular health. We all make nitric oxide in our bodies, but as we age, it starts to diminish naturally. Being proactive in maintaining nitric oxide levels is vital for healthful aging because an underperforming cardiovascular system will limit the effectiveness of any other supplementation in your regimen. Just two capsules of Berkeley Life daily provides the dietary nitrate equivalent of 7 ounces of beets and can support energy levels, maintain healthy blood pressure levels, and improve general circulation. It's the professional-grade nitric oxide supplement that I recommend and prescribe for my patients. This is only available from healthcare providers. To get your Berkeley Life professional supplements, just go to drhoffman.com/Berkeley Life. That's drhoffman.com/Berkeley Life. You can also get Berkeley Life's patented nitric oxide test strips to conveniently test your own nitric oxide levels safely and easily at home. That's drhoffman.com/Berkeley Life for Berkeley Life nitric oxide supplements. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We're talking integrative women's health with an expert. He's in practice here in New York City. Why don't you give out the information, by the way, for listeners who, and you treat patients all over the country. Sometimes people come flying in to New York consult with you.
That's right. It's some folks come in from crazy distances, international folks. It's always a treat to see people from wherever they come. The nice thing is, of course, we can always continue relationships at a distance through telemedicine. But my understanding is that New York State requires us to initially see the patient in New York. Yeah. Thereafter, we're free to go anywhere.
That's my policy, too. And, you know, a lot of people just say, oh, you know, Dr. Hoffman, I'd like to, do a phone consult with you. I say, I'm sorry. It's one of those medical legal things. We have to kind of, in the old fashioned tradition, lay hands on patients, see you up close and personal, do physical exam, and then thereafter, we're free to, advise you that with the proviso that, after a little while, you got to come back in for another physical exam because, we can't just treat patients in the, out there in the wild blue yonder. And your practice is at New York Presbyterian Weill Cornell Medical Center.
Correct. I've been affiliated there for the better part of 30 years.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. And you have a website. It's is it Gary Goldman?
No, it's, it's GaryGoldmanMD.com.
Okay, great. All right, so... We're talking a little bit about hormone replacement therapy, and clearly that's got to enter into the equation. But you talked about some of the downsides of the standard, oral contraceptive ingredients and menopausal formula ingredients like Prempro. Why go for bioidentical hormone replacement therapy? First of all, it's a little harder to access. Not every gynecologist administers it. Why seek that out?
Great question, Ron. So, there's many ways of defining natural, and people might look at the old style estrogen called Premarin, which actually stands for pregnant mare urine. So it's actually a distillation from horse urine. And some people would point to that and say, well, gee, that's the most natural thing in the world. And I would argue, yes, it is for horses, but right. Not necessarily for humans.
Right.
So the standard estrogens that we used in the days of yore, many doctors are continuing to use. And that, of course, amazes me. The data shows that it's nowhere near as good for you for a multitude of reasons. Similarly, the progestins of the days of yore, could not be replaced readily until recently, because progesterone as a natural substance was not available through a pharmaceutical company. It could not be prescribed. It could only be compounded through a specialty pharmacy. Fortunately, for the last 10 years or so, it has become commercially available in the form Prometrium.
Mm-hmm. And micronized that's now, progesterone.
Exactly. It's oral micronized progesterone. So we have to be careful in our terminology. To me, natural or bioidentical hormones are the ones that human women make. And, you know, whether it's synthesized in a lab or drawn from a blood sample from a patient, it's the same exact compound. It has the same biological effect. If you had a microscope good enough, it would look identical. There's no difference at all. And those are the hormones that our bodies are made to respond to most readily. Everything else has a slightly different effect, mm-hmm. and more often than not, less than ideal. Our bodies have evolved in a way that the chemicals that we have in our bloodstream that we make ourselves are typically far better for us than what folks can come up with in a creative day in the laboratory.
Is there a case for balanced hormone replacement therapy with a little bit of natural estrogen, maybe two or three of the kinds that women make, along with some progesterone, along with perhaps some testosterone, which women produce less of, and perhaps it can have an impact on their muscle strength and mood and maybe even libido.
And maybe even their bones, too.
Yes.
So there's a lot of reasons to consider replacing a variety of hormones. I think that as we look toward the future, we're going to be replacing more and more. When you look at the amount of hormones produced by humans over time, almost everything declines. Certainly, estrogen, progesterone, DHEA, dihydroepiandrosterone, which is made by the adrenal gland, even growth hormone and testosterone as well. So growth hormone, very tricky animal, and that's something that's generally closely prescribed by endocrinologists in very few circumstances, not the sort of thing that most people are using. Interestingly, there are some folks using it for longevity, but that's outside of the realm of ordinary hormone replacement therapy. When we're talking about hormone replacement, it's generally various forms of estrogen, progesterone, frequently testosterone and DHEA, in a variety of combinations that are specific to each individual person's needs. Those needs are determined by who they are, what they're feeling, what their symptoms are, what does their biochemistry look like, what's their personal and family medical history, what are their goals. And it's not a one-stop shopping, one-size-fits-all project, very, very individualized. And I can't tell you the amount of time I spend with each patient trying to ascertain what is the best therapy for them. And then frequently we tweak it. It's a bit empiric too. We see how they're feeling and then try to optimize.
I really like that, that approach, because I share your view. I think, on the one hand, there was the view that, because of the Women's Health Initiative, because of some bad results due to a misreading of the data, that a lot of doctors got scared off of hormone replacement therapy, thinking that it increased the risk of heart disease, and so they just went cold turkey on prescribing it. Some women need it. Some women don't. I am not of the school that believes that menopause is a degenerative disease, that all women have to have their hormones replaced to rejuvenate them. Many women make that passage very easily and without the support of hormones, which can be costly, which, have certain risks associated with it, but they do require, women who are on them require more scrutiny, right?
Of course. There's two reasons to think about hormone replacement therapy. And the first one that most people are thinking about is symptoms. So we know about 15% of folks have virtually no symptoms, and they certainly don't require our assistance. The larger part of the bell curve are those folks who are having some degree of symptoms but are more or less tolerating it to a large degree. And then there's the folks who are having a more extraordinary, difficult menopause. And those folks come in really in desperate straits. And they really are seeking help.
And so they end up being the most grateful patients when we alleviate their symptoms. I mean, they just will follow you anywhere if you can alleviate those symptoms.
So true. And I don't have to tell you, professionally, it's extremely satisfying when you can help someone live a comfortable and enjoyable life once again. I don't want to minimize the impact these menopausal symptoms can have on not just an individual, but as a couple And, you know, you get some patients with terrible vaginal dryness, painful sex. It can have major repercussions for a relationship. So
serious sleep problems.
Yeah, we can really help people.
Some women feel, they report feeling brain dead. You know, they just, their memory and focus is hampered because of estrogen's effect on the brain.
Right. We call that brain fog.
Mm-hmm.
So symptomatic relief is the primary reason why people choose hormones. The other group are those folks who are perhaps at risk for other problems. So we know that the lack of estrogen can lead to cognitive decline,
right,
can lead to increased acceleration of cardiovascular disease. It can also lead to progressive and accelerated bone loss called osteoporosis. And of course, that can lead to fractures, and it's a leading cause of death in the elderly. So it's more than just the unsightly dowager's hump. It can really be problematic. So for folks who need to be attentive to those issues, where we screen again by their bone densities, their lipid profiles, their family history, as well as their symptomatic complaints. So those folks may also benefit. Now we're getting a little bit off label, and I should just caution the listeners that the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, as well as the North American Menopause Society, both say very clearly, do not look at hormones as a way of reducing the rate of cardiovascular disease or of reducing cognitive decline. Why are they saying that? Because they're pointing to these large meta-analyses, mm-hmm, which are a conglomeration of studies, that show no improvement in those problems. Well, where do those statistics come from? Primarily the Women's Health Initiative, mm-hmm, the study you quoted earlier, which was a very problematic study looking at women in general 10 years postmenopausal. And these folks are very different from the ones that we typically are treating, namely the folks who were currently menopausal and are symptomatic. They were specifically excluded from the Women's Health Initiative because it was a placebo-controlled study, and it's unethical to withhold a medicine that we know is useful for symptoms from people and offer them placebo. So that's why those women were prevented from entering the study.
From what I understand, they were some of the conclusions of the Women's Health Initiative were based on the fact that if you administer high doses of standard estrogen to women who were, you know, 68 and 72 and 73 with pre-existing cardiovascular disease, that it may somewhat increase the risk of blood clots. And that's why we saw a little bit of an uptick in cardiovascular problems, where instead, if it had been administered right at the time of menopause at 50 or 52, in relatively healthy women, it might have exerted a preventive effect. Am I interpreting that correctly?
100%, Ron. You are on target. You sure you're not a gynecologist?
I have to. I'm sometimes drafted into practicing gynecology.
Yep.
You know, because I'm a generalist,
exactly.
So I've got to, you know, do it.
Well, you've got a good handle on it. Yeah, so we like to say that the Women's Health Initiative showed what happens when you give the wrong medicine by the wrong route, namely we have estrogen in the form of Premarin by mouth, to the wrong people, namely women who were not symptomatic in 10 years postmenopause, and at the wrong time, namely waiting until 10 years devoid of estrogen, they developed cardiovascular disease, and now by taking Premarin orally through absorption through the liver, it promoted production of pro-clotting proteins in the bloodstream. So those folks had heart attacks and strokes.
Yeah.
We know now that if you give even Premarin non-orally, or certainly 17-beta-estradiol, our natural human
with
estrogen.
With a patch or
if you
a
give
cream.
It, yeah. But even if you give it orally, you don't get that first-to-pass effect.
Oh, okay.
So the data we have is that now, outside of the Women's Health Initiative, all these studies show that we have not just no increased rate of cardiovascular disease, but there's lower rates of heart attacks and strokes, and lower, quote, all-cause mortality, which for many folks is the bottom line. Am I going to live longer or not with these medicines by any criteria? And that's what all-cause mortality looks at. So, you know, this old school thought of, gee, the Women's Health Initiative dictates we shouldn't give hormones. No, we shouldn't give the wrong hormone to the wrong people at the wrong time.
Mm-hmm.
So we learned important negatives. And let's face it, you know, you touch that hot stove as a child, that's an important lesson. You know what you should never do again.
Yep.
And so even this negative study was important. It taught us what not to do.
Okay, folks, at this point, let's pause and allow one of our sponsors an opportunity to share this vital message with you. Here goes. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with one of my personal solutions to better cardiovascular health, Berkeley Life Nitric Oxide Support Supplements. Just 2 capsules of Berkeley Life daily provide the dietary nitrate equivalent of 7 ounces of beets and can support cardiovascular health, maintain healthy blood pressure levels, and improve overall circulation. For more information and to purchase, just go to drhoffman.com/berkeleylife. drhoffman.com/berkeleylife. Berkeley Life Nitric Oxide Support Supplements. Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a continuing, free resource to you. And now back to our guest, Dr. Gary Goldman. I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about a condition that you probably see fairly commonly, which is cervical dysplasia. You're going to see some women who perhaps they've had HPV. They have changes. They have to be monitored more carefully. They could be on a path towards cervical cancer. Do you feel that there are certain nutritional interventions or supplements that can help to forestall that progression? Have you looked at that at all?
As a matter of fact, yes. Dysplasia is an old term. Currently, we use even uglier terminology, low-grade squamous intraepithelial lesion, or LGSIL, and then there's high-grade. The terminology changes about every 5 to 10 years mm-hmm. just to keep people guessing. Mm-hmm. It's a disaster. Having said that, all of these are pre-cancerous conditions. I do not want to be alarming. Mm-hmm. Most of these never progress into something more problematic, even with no therapy whatsoever.
But they require more scrutiny and follow-up.
Yes, exactly. So HPV is a virus that is spread sexually, and that is the proximate cause of these abnormalities. So, of course, how do we get rid of this? And it's not just that the gynecologist is treating something, doing a procedure, because those procedures just remove some of the cellular abnormalities mm-hmm. that the HPV has caused. It doesn't take out all the HPV, because we can't see that. It's microscopic. So what does take care of the HPV? Our immune system. And that's where functional medicine has an opportunity. What can we do to augment the role of our immune system? And there it comes back to the basics all over again. Our immune system requires some real basic care, healthy food, regular exercise, regular rest, plenty of hydration. If we give our immune system the tools it requires, it can get rid of many viral illnesses more readily, and that includes influenza and coronavirus. So augmenting our health is absolutely step one. I like to think of a roof with 20 holes. Supplements are going to plug 3 of those holes. You're still going to get soaked in the rain. But if you have a healthy lifestyle, that's the other 17.
I've seen some preliminary data on AHCC, on folate, even selenium. Are these mm-hmm. in your armamentarium for supporting the immune system in cases like this?
Yes. We have a whole slew. I did some research. I came up with a list of about 25 mm-hmm. different supplements that have been shown both in vitro and in vivo to augment the immune system.
Yeah, we're kindred viral spirits infections. Because when I publish lists like that, people say, so what are the top 4? Listen, yeah, but there's so many.
Right. So the tough thing with all of these is no one has done those studies. Which of these antiviral supplements and in which combination at which dose have the maximum effect? So, I mean, that is the challenge, I think, to functional medicine or naturopathic medicine is doing those studies to say, okay, well, let's see, you know, NAC would be useful here, lipoic acid, monolaurin, mm-hmm. Oil of oregano, yep. Curcumin. Boswellia, there's so many, or the various mushrooms. There are so many things that can be useful in fighting off viral illnesses, but which is the best combination? That I don't have the answer to. Mm-hmm. So we generally, first of all, recommend ones that are readily available, because my list goes on to things that you just cannot find commercially. Mm-hmm. But my short list is I've got about 6 or 8 that I think are fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah, I just want to take a little segue into the realities of OBGYN practice, because I noticed that having birthed 10,000 babies or more in your career, you now are confining your practice to GYN. And more that's the trend, because the specialty is OBGYN. But a lot of OBGYNs have dropped the OB and they're just doing the GYN. I know that you want to function, you want to focus more on functional medicine and with an outpatient practice, and, you know, birthing babies, all night long is not conducive to staying awake and alert during the daytime when you talk to your patients for lengthy visits. But just reality check for our listening audience. We had a preliminary conversation a couple of weeks ago when I saw you at the Integrative Health Symposium. What was your malpractice premium when you were an OB?
Oh, so that's very much dependent on where you practice. Currently, the rate in Manhattan is about $250,000 a year.
Whoa. So that's the reality, and that is an economic reality that's driving some of our more talented OBs into, GYN office-based practices where they no longer go into the delivery room. You know, that's just the nature of the beast, I think.
Yeah. If I recall correctly, I had to work more or less 9 months of the year.
Just to pay the premium.
9 months of deliveries just to pay the premium.
Wow.
True.
Yeah, that's worse than federal income tax, because it's by some estimates, it's like, you know, May 15th by the time you actually take on the real paycheck. Okay.
That's right.
So, great stuff. Obviously, there's so much to be learned in this field, but you've given us a great overview. You got a website. Are there additional resources that you want to point us toward?
Sure. So in addition to my website, I do publish articles on a fairly regular basis. I distribute those on Facebook, on LinkedIn, and on Twitter. The easiest place to find it is on Facebook. And I strike when the iron's hot. I put up a coronavirus article this morning. So as I'm inspired by current events, interesting articles, I like to put that up. So it's a great way to keep abreast of what's new and interesting and important in the field of women's health and functional medicine in general.
Well, we look forward to reading that. And might I give out your office number?
Yes, please. Office is 212-535-6100. And I'd also like to add, I'm also licensed in the state of Florida. So for any Florida listeners, I can also do telemedicine in that jurisdiction.
Oh, great. Okay. Excellent. Dr. Gary Goldman, thank you very much for joining us. Stay well and keep up the great work. I think you're really making a difference on behalf of so many of the women that you treat with functional medicine.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. And it was a real enjoyable experience to speak with you and hopefully share some good information with your listeners.
Indeed. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As you know, this is a vital time to bolster our immune defenses. I've received countless requests for a specific list of supplements that I recommend to support immune health. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Immune Support Protocol, my supplement recommendations offering the greatest boost for your immune system when it's needed most. Best medicine is preventive medicine. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com for more information. drhoffmanstore.com. In addition to the Immune Support Protocol, you'll find easy-to-follow links for our Supplement Starter Kit, Heart Health Protocol, and much more. These protocols are an easy way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need to help you follow the intelligent medicine lifestyle. The same supplements I take for myself and prescribe for my patients. And for a limited time, you'll get free priority shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com.